We will begin the convocation during the introduction while it is in progress.
Yes, we left people a favor in terms of offering such a program as this,
in that it gives them an opportunity to have ownership in our church, in the business of the church of reaching people with Christ. And finally, I think we as well do our church a favor by offering something along this line, in that we instill in our young people at an early age the desire as well as the ability to witness of their faith in Christ and of the gospel in Jesus, both with their peers and as well with other people that they might meet, or on a weekend of OFC, as you'll hear about, in witnessing to people they go door to door to see. I think that we as pastors want to look at the practical side of all this, in that we're raising up for ourselves, or for our church, I should say, laymen who will want to work with young people, and laymen who will also want to take an active role in evangelism, on our evangelism committees. And also for myself and other people who might be here who can speak from experience, it also has a great deal to do with preparing you for entering the pastoral ministry, and makes you a person who has confidence and willingness to be an evangelical, even evangelistic-minded and mission-minded pastor, both in the community as well as in the church at large. We'll follow our usual format this morning for convocations. He'll give a short presentation, has a film for us, and then also we'll leave some time for discussion and answer and questions and things like that. So if you have any of those, please feel free to do so then. Pastor Boltman.
Appreciate the opportunity to come here and share with you some of the experiences I've had over the past 20 years in ministry with youth, and not specifically with youth, but the last number of years I've been able to, Lord has blessed me to work with youth more than what I have in the first part of my ministry. Now, in order for me to feel comfortable, I got to know that the Lord is with us and guiding our discussion and all, and I'd like to invite you to join me in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to come together this morning to worship you and now to discuss things about your kingdom, extending your kingdom through our youth, utilizing these young people that are the church so we can mobilize them to be great witnesses as they go out and share the good news that Christ suffered and died and rose again for us and for all people in the world. Guide our discussion and bless our efforts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Something that's always stuck in my mind and has always been a concern of mine, and I must say my wife as well, because she's been a helpmeet for the last 25 years, and I am thankful to the Lord that I have a helpmeet like her. And we've been concerned about children, and we have five of our own. The Lord bless us with five, and we have two grandchildren. But it always kept coming back to us what it says in Psalm 127, verse 3, children are an heritage of the Lord. Children have value. They're given by the Lord for a purpose. And I get rather disturbed when people, well, of course, you know as well as I the things that go on with young people today and the way parents ignore their children. I don't know what's going to happen tonight. I've got confirmation class when I get back. And I told one kid that I want to see his mother and father before he comes back to class, because he just comes to confirmation when he feels like it, when his parents feel like getting him there, and comes to church about the same way. And he was rather not too friendly in class last week when he came, and unprepared and so forth. And it really concerns me that parents are not that concerned about their young people, this heritage of the Lord. That's where I guess my love for youth has really developed stronger, to try and kind of make up for what they don't get at home a lot of times. And I feel that we really need to be concerned about what takes place in their lives. Somewhere in all my pockets I had a little piece of paper that I was going to read, and I probably left it in my briefcase. But I'll look here a minute and just see if I can... Oh, there's still paper in my pocket. There it is. I want to read this to you, and it really goes along with this fact that people, by and large, are not that concerned about youth in our church or, you know, in society as well. It says, once upon a time, there was a church staff looking for teachers and leaders for their young people, children and preschoolers. And some adults said, I don't want to leave the sweet fellowship and study of my adult class. But the drug pusher on the street said, not even the threat of jail will keep me from working with your children. Some adults said, we have to be out of town too often on weekends. But the porno book dealer said, we're willing to stay in town weekends too to accommodate your children. And some adults said, I'm unsuited, unable to work with children or preschoolers. But the movie producer said, we'll study, survey, spend millions to produce whatever turns kids on. And some adults said, I could never give the time required to plan and to go to meetings. But the pusher, the porno book dealer, movie producer said, we'll stay open whatever hours are necessary every day to win the minds of kids. So the adults stayed in their classes and enjoyed the sweet fellowship and could go out of town often on weekends and were available to do whatever was good to do in place of church meetings. And when Sunday came, the children came to their classes and no one was there except the church staff going from one room to another, trying to reassure them that someone would surely come to lead them. But no one ever came. The young children and preschoolers and youth soon quit because they had gone to listen to others who did care about the things they did and what went on into their minds. And that kind of summarizes a lot of things that I think about the youth today. And I know pastors are not all that comfortable with youth either. I don't know if we think something else is more exciting. I think part of the problem is we don't know what to do for our youth. You may, in your field education or whatever, be involved in youth work, youth programs, and maybe at the church you are at, they go in for all the, in order to have a youth program, you have to go bowling, you have to go skiing, you got to do this, you got to do that. And you're saying to yourself, well, that's not my idea of youth ministry. My idea is they should have some Bible study. And so then sometimes we get frustrated and say, well, the youth don't want Bible study, without really talking to them. I've found in the experience that I've had, which is probably limited in a certain degree, but that youth do want Bible study. They're not necessarily going to come to you and say, Pastor, please, will you have a Bible study with us? You know? I don't know if too many of your older members that'll do that. Now, I had a surprise about a year and a half ago. My Sunday school teachers met once in a while, whenever needed, about two or three times a year. You know, you got to plan the Christmas program, you got to do this and that. There's a few things that takes everybody together to do. And I was hearing from them, they said, Pastor, we might be wanting to, some of them said, we want to quit teaching for a while because we miss being in the adult Bible study. And I said, well, I said, is that what you want? Then let's talk about it. I said, if you want to have what we're having on Sunday morning in the adult Bible class, I said, I'll be glad to do that once a month with you folks. We'll take what we've done during the month and we'll do it with Sunday school teachers. But I said, it's up to you. You're the ones that have to decide if you want to meet every month and do that. And it was unanimous. And I about fell over in my chair, because you just don't usually get your Sunday school teachers to willingly come once a month to a meeting. And we have 100% about every month. Now, I don't say that everybody's going to do that and you're going to have a congregation like mine. But the idea is, Bible study is important for adults. It's also important for youth. And, Carl Eckhoff is around here somewhere. He's been working with me for a number of years, because for the last 10 years I've been involved in camp work. I've been director at Camp Soka. And it took me several years before I was brave enough to tackle a high school week, a week of high school kids, because I knew what that would be. You know, we got 215 acres out there, and those kids would have a lot of places to hide behind trees and bushes and all that. And I said, that's what it was, camp doesn't need. But we decided, and this was in conjunction now with the ongoing Ambassadors for Christ too, because a lot of the kids that were involved in ongoing Ambassadors were here too. But anyway, we've got, as I said, five children, and two of them are married, and the third one is about to get married, I guess, another year or so. But they kept saying, well, Dad, we're too old now to go to children's camp, and we want a high school camp. It'll work out. You think so? I don't think so. I know kids. I thought I knew kids. But anyway, I bit the bullet, and we decided to have a high school week. And I said, boy, we're going to use the Bible. We'll have fun, swim and play ball and do whatever they want to do, but we're going to use the Bible and we're going to have pretty strict rules because I can't pack this goofing around. So we have Bible study, and not just once a day, we have it three times a day. And I kind of thought, I wonder if these kids are going to hack it. They'll never come back another year. But they did, and they keep coming back. And we have about 60 kids. A lot of them work and so forth. They want to come, but some of them can't. But what's interesting is, for several years, a few years back, our district had a youth retreat at the camp in the wintertime, during Christmas break, to give the kids something to do. And I wasn't in charge of it. They had somebody else that would run it, which was fine because I had plenty of other things. But the kids came to me and said, "We don't like that retreat." I said, "What's wrong with it?" "We don't have Bible study." And they wrote that on an evaluation, too. And the guy that was a leader says, "What are these kids talking about?" I said, "When they come to..." Really? "What are these kids mean? They're weird." Because he thought he was working with youth in his congregation. But I said, "When the kids come to Camp Silka, they know they're going to get Bible study. And we have it, not just once a day or once during a three-day period. We have it three times a day. And that's what they're looking for. That's why they came to Camp Silka. That's what they expect." And kids will study the Word. Not all of them will. So you have to have a variety of things. But this is where we want to strengthen the youth in the Word. And how... I've worked with adults in evangelism programs, with the Kennedy program and a variety of other things, trying to train adults to be evangelists. And I've also helped lead some workshops with Beasonsall and the like, who trying to train pastors to knock on doors. And man, it surprises me, not really, I guess I should have known pastors, but how anemic they are at knocking on a door of somebody they don't know. Well, there's some that are rather squeamish about even going out and visit their members, I guess, too. But to just go out and knock on a door and share the Word with somebody really scared a lot of pastors. And, of course, you're laymen. If the pastors aren't going to do it, and they say, "Hey, you lay people, get out there and spread the Word." My philosophy is, if I'm not able to do it, if I don't want to do it, then why should I try and push somebody else into it? And so then I first have to be convinced that it's a good thing and that I can do it. Then I can lead others in that way. So the idea of training these young people from an early age, we bring 7th and 8th graders into the OIC program and help, we have lots of Bible study, we have a number of things to really assist them in building up their faith so that they are able then to go out, knock on doors, do the witness survey, and able to tell people about their faith that is in them. And when we do that, when we train these young people in that way, it's amazing what can happen in their school situation. I could tell you lots of stories about what's happened in schools when kids are involved with the ongoing ambassador program. What do we have in our church for our youth to help our families in bringing up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? That's what we're told to do, train up a child in the way he should go, in Proverbs 22. And so we have Sunday school, and we think sometimes, that does it all. Sometimes we'll have Bible school. Used to be we'd have it for 2 weeks, but people kind of balk, so now we go back to 1 week, and so we end up having about 3 days of Bible study during that week or something, but maybe send the kids to a week of camp, whatever. But the ongoing ambassador program that you'll be seeing about, we'll show in a few minutes, and I don't want to say a whole lot about it because I say too much about it on the film here, and you'll get tired of seeing me on there probably. But this is a way where systematically every month we get the youth together. Once a month, usually, like in our area, we try and do it on the second weekend of every month so that the kids know that. But you'll have to realize, with this program, there are a few risks. I don't say risks in a bad sense. I guess I shouldn't say that. But when you fellas get out into the parish, you're going to be involved in a numbers game. I was my first 10 years in the ministry. You know, we have that Bible called Statistical Yearbook. And in there, we list, obviously, the communicant members. And, you know, if you keep adding to your communicant member list, you're going to be, boy, you'll be district president if you show good progress. If anybody wants to be, I think that's about the last thing I'd want to be. But then you have another space in there that says average church attendance. And boy, you're going to make sure that you keep going up, because if you don't, what does that say about you as pastor? What do you do to those people? You're driving them away from the church. Okay? And so you get real uptight about that when you get out into the parish. As I said, I did. I don't anymore. I'm concerned about the people being in worship, but not necessarily in my church. And that's where the ongoing ambassador sometimes rubs people raw, because they're going to be gone from their parish once a month if they're involved in ongoing ambassadors for Christ. And that should be no problem, because usually if they go into a big church, they're going to go to two services on Sunday. They're going to be involved in Bible class. They're going to be involved in Bible study Saturday night and Friday, or Saturday morning and Friday night. You know, they're going to get a lot of good biblical material to grow in. And then we have pastors saying, I want my kids there on Sunday morning. They got to be at my church on Sunday morning. Why? Because they don't think they're getting something with ongoing ambassadors? No. Because we got to play the numbers game. And if somehow we can convince these people. Now, I've justified in my mind, you know, I've got a family that goes off to Wisconsin periodically to visit their relatives, but they always are in church up there. Got other families that go other places, you know, to visit relatives and like. And, okay, our attendance will be down a few Sundays because they're gone. Last Sunday, a week ago, I think we were down maybe 30 people. Everybody was gone somewhere. But then there are other Sundays when their relatives come to visit them. There are Sundays, like I say, with ongoing ambassadors where we'll have maybe 40 kids come to our church. That all averages out. So if I can encourage you not to get too uptight when kids are wanting to be involved in something very good for their soul, to be worried about the numbers game, okay? I want to mention another thing that has always been in the back of my mind as far as my kids are concerned, my own personal kids. And I think probably if you have children the same way, you probably want your children to meet some good Lutheran person to marry, right? You want them to marry a Presbyterian or Catholic, you know. And so there's always an ulterior motive when you do things. And one of the things in ambassadors, my sons were able to meet girls that were Lutheran and Christian besides. Not just Lutheran, but... So, you know, I could see that. Well, my kids, you know, I got my oldest son when I moved to the Springfield area in Illinois. We put my oldest son's name, he was just confirmed, put his name on the mailing list, and he said, what's this, Dad? I said, I don't know, go find out and see. And he got hooked on it, got his second brother hooked on it, and then there was nobody to lead, and they grabbed me, and I got hooked on it. And now we're on our fourth son that's in the program. And later on down the road, a few years, I'm sure our daughter will be involved too. But, you know, and what happens is my kids got involved for whatever reason, whether it was to seek out a girlfriend, if that's what they saw in it the first time they went, I don't know, but at least they were getting the Word of God. And you know what Isaiah says, my word, Lord says, my word will not return to me void, but will accomplish that for which I want it to do. And so consequently, you know, those kids were involved in the word. So we're kind of filling a void here with the ongoing ambassadors. The kids need guidance. They need something to beneficial to do. You know, they're looking for things to do. And if we don't provide something for them to do, they'll find something, but it probably won't be what we want them to do. So that's the reason that I think this is really filling a void that we have. And the other argument that I get about the ongoing ambassador program, and it doesn't hold water, but I get it, because, you know, I'm in the parish too, and I know pretty much what's happening in my parish, and I'm circuit counselor, so I hear what goes on in other parishes. But the pastors are saying, well, I don't know if I want my kids to be involved in ongoing Ambassadors for Christ, because what's going to happen to my youth program? Well, you know what's going to happen to their youth program if their kids are involved in OAFC. I've found this to be true, and I think if anybody's been involved with OAFC, they'll find out that it will really strengthen your youth group. It won't detract from it at all. In fact, one congregation had so many kids involved in OAFC, and you know, you don't expect that all your kids are going to be involved in OAFC, but if you can just have, you know, two or three, that's not bad, because not all of them are going to be open to it. But if you can get a few of them, but this one congregation had a lot of them involved, and so the congregation came to us and said, tell us when your weekends are, and then we'll schedule our youth night a different night, because what was happening, these kids were so worn out from the OIC weekend, they scheduled the same weekend, like Sunday night, those kids were really zonked out, but they would be there. Another case, in a couple cases, a congregation, a big congregation, 600 so communicants, I say that's big because I've got 195 right now in mine, their youth group had fizzled. There was nothing there. And so we got a few of their kids involved in ongoing Ambassadors. And as a result, those kids in Ambassadors went back and they started up their youth group and they built the youth group. And so it was a real blessing for that congregation that these kids were involved in OAFC. So, there's just so many benefits, you know, any way you come at it, that you know, I think it says in the film, I'm sure it does, that those kids involved, and Scott mentioned that too earlier, those kids involved in OAFC, what's the percentage, 60? About 60% of those involved in OAFC go on to full-time church work. Now you tell me any other thing that you've got going either in a parish or in a synodical level that can produce that kind of results, and I'd be glad to find out what it is, because these kids are so involved in the Word of God and witnessing and so forth that they can't help themselves but say, hey, this is number one priority in my life. I want to spend my life doing that. So, you know, it really has a blessing for the church at large and in our congregations. Just want to say a few more things because I want to save time for some questions and also for our video. I get letters once in a while, and I just think and people come up and tell me what happens to their children. And there's one girl in particular that really is close to my heart, and she's now studying at one of our synodical schools. But her mom, when she was about an eighth grader, her mom came to me. She and her husband had been divorced for some time. Her husband was, I guess, abusive to his wife and to the kids. They had two kids. And she came to me. Sometimes I participate in singles weekends, not as a participant, but... somebody has to call her square dances, and why not me? So... at these single activities, and this gal came up to me this one time and she said, Pastor, I don't know what I'm going to do with my daughter. She's been in trouble and she's done this and that and the other thing. And she said, I just don't know, you know, there's no father there to guide her. And she said, I've been trying to lead her in the Word and so forth. And I said, well, let me have her once a month for ongoing Ambassadors. And I said, don't ask her. I said, you send her once, maybe twice, just to see how she gets along with it. If she doesn't like it, well, then, you know, that's that. But I said, I think that she probably will like it, but I can't be sure. But send her anyway. And so she did, and the girl really liked it, really got involved. And I don't know how many different people have told me what a different girl she became as a result of that, people who had seen her in their congregation. Boy, that girl sure has changed. She's a different girl. And... there's a lot of cases where kids from broken homes or various problems in the home have become a part of ongoing Ambassadors. And to hear their testimony brings tears to your eyes, I'll tell you. And they do, you know, they are willing to give their testimony as what has happened in their life. There's boys that have had a rough time at home. They're very, it was like survival of the fittest in their home, and everybody's just fighting and everything. And this one boy got involved in ongoing ambassadors and really had an effect, the Word of God really, the Lord working, really had an effect on turning the life around of that whole family. And the whole family situation changed. So, you know, we could go on and on with stories like that, true stories of how the Lord works. And like I say, I don't get so tied up in the numbers game that I forget what the Word of the Lord can do for young people. And I'm thankful that I've been able to be involved in it for this long. I kind of became acting executive director of Ongoing Ambassadors by default because I was on the board. I was elected to the board about 3 years ago or so, and the board decided to move headquarters from Winfield, Kansas to the Springfield, Illinois area, the Midwest. And when we did, Pastor Darko, who was the originator of OAFC and still works for OAFC, said, "I don't care to move." And he said, "We want to start a regional director program." And he said, "I will be the first one if that meets with the board approval." So the board said, "Okay, but what are we going to do for executive director? Our money will be going to pay Tim and Pastor Darko, who are full-time employees, and we really don't have the funds for a director." "Hey, Dave, you're pretty close there. Why don't you do that?" I said, "Yeah, And, camp director, pastor of a congregation, and you want me to do that too? And Tim said, "If you will, I'll help you." He's a lay minister. And so he's been having to suffer ever since. You know, he agreed to it, and he's still alive, but he's been a real help. And after we show this film, which I want to do now, I want Tim to talk to you about some of the materials that some of the Bible studies that we have available that we use with the youth, and I will talk, depending on how your questions, if you have lots of questions, but I have a number of materials that we brought with us that might be helpful for you in a variety of ways. The thing that I think really is important is not that you necessarily get involved right today with Ongoing Ambassadors, although you can, and we'll tell you how. But if you want to pick up this little brochure here, stick that in your file somewhere, in your hip pocket or whatever, and when you get out into your parish, or even, if you're doing field work and you want to get involved with something like this in your field work, this will give you a basic outline of what the program is. You'll see it real quickly. You'll see the kids in action. That's why I wanted you to see the video, because you'll see kids. You won't just hear some preacher droning. You'll see me once in a while on there, and Warren Huffines, who's across the river. He's going to be coming back here and finishing up one of these days at seminary. But this will give you a quick overview. If you just take this and tuck it away, then we say, "Hey, what am I going to do with my youth?" Remember this. Okay, we can get that video started. A lot of these pictures were taken while we were at Springfield, Illinois in 1985. Jesus Christ brings us a glorious message in the words of that song taken from the Gospel of John as he promises everlasting life to all who believe in him. Proclaiming that message is the heart of our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Yet we have some concerns in our church. Recruitment of more people for full-time ministry, reaching out with the good news of Jesus Christ, and keeping our youth interested in the Lord.
The next few minutes will reveal a ministry that affects all three concerns. Of the youth involved in this unique ministry, 60% have gone into full-time church work. Many more homes have been reached with the gospel, and confirmation dropouts have been drastically reduced.
All this happens through OAFC, or Ongoing Ambassadors for Christ. a youth evangelism movement within the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
I like OSC because of fellowship and learning about Christ.
I like OSC because of the really neat things that I've seen happening to our youth spiritually.
I like my friends. Maybe.
Well, the reason I like OSC is because you got so many ways to witness to other people.
It's the best program that I have known in the Lutheran Church that challenges kids to know who their Savior is.
I like learning about my Lord.
Because I've really learned a lot.
It's really fun.
Share the gospel with everybody. That's why I like OSC.
Simply stated, OSC is sharing. Sharing Jesus, the one hero of each ambassador. This sharing generally takes place during monthly weekend gatherings hosted by Lutheran congregations. Let's go to an ambassador weekend.
Youth gather on Friday evening to share their Christian faith in song, testimony, drama, or puppets, and through Bible study.
Yeah, I bet you did. Well, you can just put me down as one of your well-to-do folks. I may even want to buy this place.
Your name, please?
Tex Moneybag is what they call me.
And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Well, at first thought, he is God, but here on earth he didn't use all his powers of God to the fullest extent until after he rose.
Also on Friday evening, trained youth demonstrate the methods of witnessing which are learned for use that weekend. Ambassadors are assigned to host homes where they review their witnessing methods. Saturday is a full-packed day, beginning with prayer, singing, and in-depth Bible study. Then the youth prepare to make canvas calls by reviewing their methods.
Let's practice. Tell me chapter 16.
For God so loved Kara that he gave his only begotten son, suffer and die on the cross for Kara, that if Kara believed in him and would save her from sin, Kara should not perish, but Kara should have everlasting life.
That's pretty good.
Kara, tell me the fourth message.
Well, I go to church on Sunday, but I still sin, and that sin separates me from God. But I'm truly sorry for that sin, and I know that God sent a Savior down this earth, in Jesus Christ, to suffer and die on the cross for my sins, so I know I'm going to go to heaven.
Very good.
Okay, Kevin, let's do the assurance of heaven.
Okay. Would you like to be absolutely certain that if you were to die right now, you would go to heaven?
Sure.
Okay. The Bible says, these things that are written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life. We can know that we have eternal life. The first words of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark are repent and believe the gospel. Repent means to be so sorry for your sin that you never want to sin again. I'm not saying that you won't sin again, but that you never want to sin again. Is that the way you feel about your sins?
Yeah.
Jesus goes on to say, believe the gospel. The gospel is the good news that Jesus suffered and died on the cross for our sins. Do you believe that Jesus suffered and died on the cross for your sins?
Yes.
These methods are used as the youth do a Sunday school survey or a witness survey in the community. Each survey team is led by a trained ambassador. The unchurched are invited to the Lutheran congregation the youth represent.
Hello, we're taking a religious survey and we're representing Salem Lutheran Church. I'm wondering if I can ask you a few short questions.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, does your husband attend church?
Yes.
Do you attend church?
Yes.
What church denomination is that?
Lutheran.
Lutheran. Okay, do you know your pastor's in there?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any children attending Sunday school?
Yes.
Okay. May I have your name, please?
Mrs. Marvin Schroeder.
And your address, please?
2321
Queensway. Okay, ma'am. And now I'd like to ask you the question we consider most important on our agenda. Why do you expect to go to heaven?
Well, I go to church every Sunday. And I try to do good things.
May I share with you why I expect to go to heaven? Well, I go to church every Sunday, and I try and be a really good person, but I sin sometimes. And this sin is separate from God. And I'm truly sorry that I sin, and I sincerely wish that I would never sin again. But I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, and that's why I sin for him. What do you think about that?
I think it's great.
Well, it was really nice talking to you, so we've got a little track here we'd like to leave you with. It explains a little bit about how our church works, and you're welcome to come to services. We're going to be singing this.
Very much. Thank you for your time.
God bless you.
You too. Bye.
After lunch, served at the host church, morning experiences are shared.
We walked up to him and we said, you know, we introduced ourselves and everything about the survey. And we came to the question of why you expect to go to heaven. And he says, well, on the front of our church, he says, by faith you are saved. And I said, faith in what? He says, Jesus Christ! You know, and he's really happy.
That's fantastic. The Lord needs to be sure in that situation. Somebody else?
Elderly gentleman came to the door. And he said, my son died, and after that, I didn't know whether to believe in God or what. And he goes, I just don't know. So we started witnessing to him. We used John 3:16 and explained to him that there's forgiveness even if you get upset.
And encouraged by the sharing, the youth continue surveying in the afternoon. When teams return, they record their survey results. These findings are left with the host congregation for follow-up. Supper is served, and then it's off to a nursing home for a devotion and sharing through the halls.
Tell me something
about you. Oh, we'll think about you too. I love you. Just remember that you and your husband
are right. Hello. How are you doing today? Very well. Do you guys like
to hear a song? Returning to the church, the director talks to the newcomers about what it means to be commissioned as an ongoing ambassador. Then everyone practices for Sunday morning worship. Their part in worship depends on the wishes of the host pastor and congregation.
Yes, OASC is sharing. Young people sharing at Ambassador Weekends across the country.
I like OASC because it helps me to stay close to God and witness.
I like OASC because it's a great place to meet people who believe in Jesus Christ too.
Because of the Christian fellowship.
I especially like the training sessions. I just love sharing Jesus with everybody.
Complete strangers can become friends close. Short amount of time.
I like to go out and calling on people.
I enjoy the witnessing on weekends and I love to play guitar.
Bible study and the growth that you get.
It has strengthened my faith.
Now I enjoy sharing Jesus Christ as their only way to heaven.
These could be your young people sharing in your communities. I'll tell you where to write for more information in just a minute. But first I want you to know about some other aspects of our ministry. In addition to the local weekends, a national summer training is held each July. Summer teams travel for 10 days, bringing the OASC training to new areas. Training new adult leaders is key to starting. Video training tapes for adults are available from the national office, in addition to personal training. OASC is a faith ministry. It began in faith and remains supported solely by donations from those who have caught the vision of a growing church through the training of today's young people. To expand our ministry, we need additional supporters. Support comes from individuals and church groups. Sunday schools, parochial schools, Bible classes, Lutheran Women's Missionary League auxiliaries, and Lutheran Layman's League groups. Many of these friends of OFC utilize the Ambassador Circle. The Ambassador Circle is a systematic way to give a regular financial gift to keep the ongoing Ambassador's ministry ongoing for yet another generation. Please consider joining the Ambassador Circle family.
Ongoing Ambassadors for Christ, an exciting ministry helping today's youth to know and proclaim their Savior who promised, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will have everlasting life."
Do you see how this program can affect the lives of your young people? Would you like to begin this ministry in your area? To contact us or forward your contributions, write to OAFC, Post Office Box 471, Athens, Illinois, 62613. You may also use the pre-addressed postcards that were included with this video. God assure you of your salvation in Jesus Christ and make you a joyful witness of His love. I think we'll stop it here so we have a little more time. The second portion of this is about 3 minutes long. It tells basically how to get started in an OIC program. We send these all over the country. How many have we made so far? About 60. And we just keep sending them out to all parts of the country. It's easier for us to send those out than for Tim or I or Pastor Darko or somebody to go to different places around the country, fly around to tell what OIC. It's much easier to see the kids in action. Tim, would you just explain briefly about the Bible studies that we brought along that they might be interested in utilizing?
Yeah, there's a couple Bible studies. They're both on white paper, two sheets, I think, so they have a staple in two. One is the Back to the Bible Catechism, and this is a chain reference of all the doctrines in our Lutheran theology. And you can set up a chain reference through your Bible by starting with the first Bible verse in that particular doctrine and then cross-referencing it to the next verse in your Bible and so forth. Some pastors enjoy using this for like catechism instruction as well. And once the kids have cross-referenced their Bibles, it's a neat idea too to have them guys against girls or something race to see who can find those passages the fastest in their Bibles. And so that's maybe a neat tool. The other Bible study is simply a Bible study on baptism renewal. Renewing our baptism daily, as Luther said that we should do. There were also, I would just mention, some booklets about this thick. They were white, puppet and drama skits in it. And I see that they're all gone. That's probably a neat resource if you're going into any kind of youth work. Since we've run out, if you'd like a copy, there's a blue sheet over there on a clipboard. If you'll put down your name and address and say, "I want a puppet and drama booklet," we'll send you one. And also, if you'd like to sign up for our newsletter that comes out 5 times a year, you can put your name on that sheet too and just say newsletter beside your name, and I'll know what you mean there too.
Our newsletter, I see, is somebody had one there at OIC Crier. Is that what?
A newspaper? I saw something. There it is.
There.
So if you haven't seen it, usually it's over there by your mailboxes.
Scott says next to Christian News or something. But that's our newsletter. I did see Scott in the film. Did you see yourself? Okay, he was at training in 85. I just, out of curiosity, wonder how many of you have been involved with ongoing Ambassadors for Christ in the past? Okay. All right. It's good to see
our statistics are proving out. There are some people that still are going on to full-time church work. Okay, anybody have any questions that they'd like to ask at this time? We'll try and answer. If I don't know the answer, Tim's been involved longer than I have. Yes, sir.
Pastor, how has the program affected, I guess, the churches to which it goes? I mean, if pastors find a benefit for that congregation, in terms of calling and providing evangelistic opportunities?
Yes, that's a real good question. It is very beneficial to churches, especially churches that don't have a regular way of canvassing their communities. You know, there's a lot of people who are paranoid about that. But then they get a core of prospects to call on. It affects the congregations as these young people are infiltrating in the congregation. They stay in the homes of the members, and this enthusiasm for the Lord's work rubs off on the members. I've got members in my congregation that are enthused about OAFC because we've had them out there before and because even some of their kids have been involved in the past. And so it really gives the congregation a lift, a spiritual lift, to have the program, you know, in our midst. So that's what I see, you know, as I've talked to other pastors and as I've experienced myself. Thanks. Any other questions? All real clear, or else you're asleep, right? One of the things that I think is rather interesting that we sometimes encourage when we go into an area, a new area, with ongoing ambassadors is to encourage the pastor to say, kind of legalistically, but yet in love, if you want to be confirmed, you will participate in an OAC weekend. Now, you know. We did that up in Northern Illinois one time, and the pastor and the two assistants, they came up to me Friday night. You know, we told these kids this, and I hadn't told them that, but they'd done it on their own. If they weren't there, we're going to call them and find out why. Do you think we ought to? I said, sure, why not? Because if, I don't know about you guys, but I know I've been involved in things. My wife has drugged me to some things that I don't want to go, I'm not interested, and once I got there, it wasn't so bad after all. And we got to do this with our kids sometimes. Like I said with my oldest son, you go and find out what it's all about. I could tell him, but I want him to experience it. In the same way with our youth, we need some way to try and encourage them to be a part of the weekend, to see what it's about. Not all of them are going to go for it. But if they experience it once and maybe twice, they'll have a feel for what it is, and there'll be a number of them that will want to continue. It won't kill anybody. And one thing they're fearful of is that they're going to have to go out without much training. But we always send a trained person with an untrained. So it's not a matter of, here's a survey, go out and do. But we want to train those kids. Okay, I just want to talk about a few things that are back here. This is our one witnessing method, which is the John 3:16 paraphrased. And you can pick those up. It's kind of handy. People ask for those. This is our third witnessing method in a tract form, the assurance of heaven, which tells people how they can be sure of going to heaven. The ambassador circle, we are a completely faith ministry where we're dependent upon the gifts of God's people to survive, and the Lord has blessed us so far since I think we got started, Pastor Darko started in the late 60s, but I think about 1970 is when it was officially started. Then another witnessing method is a cross-witnessing method. These are some methods that we use. Those are the three basic methods that kids learn. Guidelines for pastoral advisors, so that pastors that work with the youth with OAFC know what's expected of them. Here's a list of guidelines for organizing an OAFC weekend. If you want to know what goes on a weekend, you saw it on the film, but you might want to pick up one of these papers that tells about it. And then if you want to see what our survey is like, there are surveys back there as well. So I think I've probably said enough, and I know some people are probably getting hungry, so I appreciate your attendance and your attention. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Boltman, and as he mentioned, you know, keep this stuff in your files and on hand for future reference, and consider working our youth into your overall ministry, if not OEFC, but the time we spend in youth is well spent when we give them the opportunity to have a part in evangelism and reaching out of the word of Christ to people, as well as painting walls and bathrooms and whatever else we can find jobs for you to do. Let's put them on the front lines and give them that opportunity. So thank you, Pastor Bowman.